Reading today comes from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. Later, Jesus himself appeared to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." "We'll go with you," they said. They set out in a boat, and throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was him. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they did, and there were many fish, so many that the net couldn't haul them in. When the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord," when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go." He said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." These are holy words for holy people. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. You know, okay, we're back on. Okay. Tiffany calls it the teacher look. She gives it to her kids in the classroom all the time. That look that says, "You better knock it off." We've all seen that look, right? A very similar phenomenon to when you get asked the same question over and over. That is a mom technique. That is also a police interrogation technique. I'm going to ask you this same question 25 times. I'm going to see if the answer changes. I wonder how Peter must have felt when Jesus was asking him the same question over and over. and if he was getting that look from Jesus, because, you know, just a few days ago, Jesus was being crucified, and Peter was running around telling people, "I don't know the guy, never saw him before in my life, I don't know what you're talking about." Now, here, a few days later, Jesus pulls Peter aside and says, "Now, tell me something. You love me?" His heart must have jumped into his throat. I mean, you know that, you know, it's not just the look that mom gives you. It's not just the police interrogation where we're asking the same question over and over to see if the answer changes. It is that feeling when you've been caught. You're nailed. You are dead to rights. It is, "Do you love me?" "Do you love me?" "Well, yeah, you know that I do." "Do you love me more than these?" "Of course, yeah, you know that I love you." "Do you love me?" "Tend my sheep, feed my lambs." "If you love me, then." Jesus gives Peter an if then, right? "If you love me, then here is what you do. That love comes with action. Love comes with consequences. Love comes with doing. Love isn't just a feeling that you have in your heart. It is a verb. Things that you do. It is actions. How do your kids spell love? How do your grandkids spell love? T-I-M-E. The time that you spend with them is what communicates your love to them more than anything else. T-I-M-E. Or spell out the word attention. The attention that you give them tells them that you love them. And I think for poor Peter here in this story, in this crazy story, this story of him being just nailed dead to rights, I mean, just absolutely, what did love look like to Peter in that moment? It looked like patience. It looked like grace. It looked like another shot, another chance, one more try. "Yeah, I know you struck out, but get back in the batter's box. Take another swing at it." Another chance, another shot. That's what love looked like to Peter in that moment. I want you to consider when love has looked like that to you. When have you experienced love that looked like patience and grace and forgiveness? When have you experienced love that looked like, "I know you messed up, and I know you better than that. So I forgive you. Here's another chance. That's what love looks like. That's what love feels like. I've said it before, the best stories are redemption stories. Your best movies are movies where somebody has, either through circumstances beyond their control, or maybe through bad choices, or maybe through inadvertently bad choices, they didn't know it was a bad choice at the time, or whatever, they've messed something up, and they've made a real mess out of their lives, and somehow, by grace, by work, by persistence and not giving up, they get a shot at redemption. That redemption comes in the end. You know, those are the best stories. Those are the best movies. I can even lay out a case for a movie that most of you would think is weird as a redemption story. Try me. Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction is a redemption story. It's the redemption of Jules, the Samuel L. Jackson character. Which is why it's told in the broken timeline that it is. Because it doesn't happen chronologically, it happens narratively. But anyway, the best stories are redemption stories. And this is the story of Peter's redemption. This is the story of Peter having made a mess of his life by denying his knowledge of Jesus, by denying his knowledge of his best friend, his mentor, his leader, a person he worshipped. Just flat out denying knowledge of him. I've never met the guy. I don't know what you're talking about. And all of the guilt and shame associated with having done that. And then Jesus, after providing for him, after fixing breakfast for him, convicts him. Do you love me? And Jesus didn't guilt trip him. I mean, that's something that we could learn from Jesus right there. Jesus didn't guilt trip him. Naturally, most of us would be like, Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know that I love you. Then why did you say you didn't know me back there? You know, that's how we would have done it. That's certainly how I would have done it, because I'm pretty broken. But Jesus models a different way. Jesus models a very different way. He doesn't say, why did you do that then? Do you love me? Yes. Then take care of my sheep. Then do something that shows it. Doesn't guilt him, doesn't shame him, doesn't make him feel terrible about himself. He already feels terrible enough. Just shows him a better way. That's good parenting, that's good friendship, and that's good theology. That God doesn't guilt us and shame us. God doesn't hold our sins over our heads and tell us how lowly and awful we are. We're loved. And then we're called to act out the consequences of being loved. Peter is redeemed by this confrontation. Peter is redeemed with a charge to tend my sheep. And then we know from the Acts of the Apostles that Peter is very much involved in the birth of the church. Peter leads the birth of the church. I'm sure most of you saw that Rachel Held Evans died this week. That is just tragic. She was only 37. She is a Christian author. And she gave a voice to an awful lot of people from my part of the country, especially who have grown up in a very conservative evangelical culture and climate, and questioned and rejected and walked through some serious doubt but held on to our faith. She gave a voice to what it really means to be faithful without being like that. And she was just wonderful, just a wonderful, thoughtful, kind writer. She probably had better theology than any of her pastors. I'm going to paraphrase something that she said, something that she wrote, that I agree with more than anything. All we're left with is this church. This pitiful, broken down church. And it's enough. What we're left with is the church, and it's enough. It's just, oh. My heart is broken to lose her. My heart is absolutely broken to lose her. I'm just grateful that she wrote so much and shared so much in her short life that it will continue to inspire people. Peter, redeemed, helped found the church, helped build its foundation, hooked it up to the battery and jump-started it. Got it moving. Got it going. Because Jesus saw through who Peter thought he was, and Jesus saw through who Peter tried to present himself as, and Jesus sees through the you that you're trying to present to one another right now. All of us are wearing a mask. All of us are wearing a facade. All of us are wearing this self that we try to project to others, who we want them to think we are, who we want other people to believe we are. And behind that mask is the real you. Sometimes we get so good at wearing that mask that we mask it from ourselves. We trick ourselves into believing that who I project to others is who I really am. You have a you that you present to yourself as who you are. And behind that is who you really are. You have a you that you present to the people in your church. You have a you that you present to the people at work. You have a you that you present to people in other aspects of your life. And behind all of that is the true self, the you really are. And a you that may be pretty broken, a you that may be pretty tangled, a you that has stuff that you hide from others, a you that you'd be ashamed to show to others. Maybe. Crazy thing is that Jesus sees through your facade to that you and loves it. And wants to give that you a shot at redemption. Not the you that you present to church. Not the you that you present to coworkers. Not the you that you present to friends. But the you really are. So this morning, as Jesus asks, do you love me? Know that the you he is talking to is the real you, way down inside, the real you that is tangled and dark, the real you that you is loved passionately and intensely and wonderfully. And just like mama's face when she knows you're gonna lie, Jesus sees right through it and loves you anyway. I don't know. I think that's good news, don't you? Amen and amen.